Welcome to 5 at 8. I'm Mark Overman, and I'm here with Linda Carlisle on Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. Here's the day's top news. In this episode, we will talk about global emissions reaching historic highs, oil prices surging due to geopolitical risks, Elon Musk's predictions on superhuman AI, Jared Kushner's investment fund financed by overseas investors, and the EU's investigation into China's state support for wind turbine companies. Story number one. Global emissions of the three most important heat-trapping gases, carbon dioxide, methane, and nitrous oxide, reached historic highs last year, as reported by the New York Times. Despite efforts to reduce emissions, levels of these greenhouse gases continued to rise, leading to significant impacts on the planet's climate and environment. Have you seen this, Linda? Global greenhouse gas emissions just keep on climbing, despite all these policies and incentives we're putting in place to move away from fossil fuels. It's like we're stuck in a loop.
The issue is complex, and it's important to understand that transitioning away from fossil fuels is a process that takes time. The infrastructure and systems we have in place are largely dependent on fossil fuels, and changing that doesn't happen overnight.
Right, but we're seeing some scary comparisons here. The report says that the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere today is comparable to around 4.3 million years ago, when the sea level was much higher and the Arctic was a forest. That's mind-boggling.
It is indeed alarming, Mark. Our planet has experienced drastic changes in the past, but the rate at which we are seeing changes today is unprecedented. The increased levels of greenhouse gases are driving these changes, leading to warmer oceans, melting glaciers, and extreme weather patterns.
So what can we do, Linda? It seems like the steps we've taken so far aren't enough. We produced the most CO2 ever last year, and it might be even higher this year. Are we just doomed to keep pumping out these gases?
The situation is certainly serious, Mark, but it isn't hopeless. We need to continue to push for stronger policies and incentives aimed at reducing greenhouse gas emissions. We also need to invest in renewable energy sources and work towards making our societies more sustainable. It's a daunting task, but it's not impossible.
Well, here's hoping we can turn this ship around before it's too late. Otherwise, we might be looking at a future with a lot more extreme weather and a lot less ice in the Arctic.
The stakes are high, and it's crucial that we take action now to mitigate the impacts of climate change. It's a challenge, but with concerted effort and global cooperation, we can make a difference.
Story number two. Oil prices have surged recently due to concerns over supplies and geopolitical risks, such as conflicts in Ukraine and the Middle East. Prices for Brent crude oil have risen over 20% since mid-December, with analysts predicting further increases. This could complicate efforts to reduce inflation and impact the Biden administration ahead of the upcoming election. While a short-term price retreat is possible, the current prices remain below the peak seen in 2022. Strong demand and production cuts by major oil producers have raised fears of a potential supply shortage in 2024, according to the New York Times. So, Linda, oil prices are on a real roller coaster ride, huh? This recent uptick, driven by geopolitical tensions and supply-demand dynamics, isn't exactly great news for the average Joe trying to fuel up his car. How much of this price surge can we attribute to the conflicts happening in Ukraine and the Middle East?
That's a complex question, Mark. Geopolitical risks certainly play a significant role in oil price fluctuations. Conflict in oil-producing regions can disrupt supply chains, lead to damage of infrastructure, and create uncertainty in the market. And these factors can drive up prices. However, it's important to remember that the oil market is influenced by a multitude of factors, not just geopolitical risks.
Right. There's always a lot more to it. Now, another piece of the puzzle is this whole supply and demand thing. Demand has been stronger than expected, and there have been production cuts by Saudi Arabia and its allies. Give us a sense of how these elements play into the current situation.
Well, supply and demand are the fundamental forces that drive the oil market. When demand outpaces supply, prices tend to rise. As you mentioned, demand has been stronger than analysts expected, and this, coupled with production cuts, can push prices up. But it's not just the physical supply and demand that matter, but also the market's perception of future supply and demand. And that's where geopolitical risks come into play again, as they can create uncertainty about future supply.
So it's a bit of a feedback loop. The geopolitical situation influences the market's perception of future supply and demand, which in turn affects the actual supply and demand. It's easy to see how this can quickly spiral. And all this has pretty far-reaching effects, not just at the gas pump, but also on things like inflation and politics, right?
Yes, Mark. Rising oil prices can make efforts by central banks to reduce inflation more challenging. And politically, higher gasoline prices are certainly unwelcome news for any administration, let alone one facing an election. It's a perfect example of how global events can have local impacts.
Man, that's a lot to take in, but it's crucial to understand these dynamics if we want to make sense of what's going on in the world. Thanks for breaking it down for us, Linda.
Of course, Mark. It's always a pleasure to delve into these complex issues together.
Story number three. In a report from The Guardian, Elon Musk predicts that superhuman artificial intelligence could exist by the end of next year, but warns that shortages of training chips and increasing power demands could limit its development. Musk's company XAI is working on developing superintelligence, with their chatbot Grok AI already on par with leading models. Musk's predictions have been inaccurate in the past, but he continues to push for advancements in AI technology. Are we really about to see superhuman AI next year? That's what Elon Musk's been saying, but he's also warned that power and computing demands could put the brakes on that. Linda, as our resident expert, what are your thoughts?
Well, Mark, AI is advancing at a rapid pace. However, Musk's prediction does seem ambitious, even for him. It's not just about the speed of development, but also about managing the infrastructure needed for that development. The demand for power and the shortage of AI training chips could indeed limit the capabilities of AI in the near term.
Right. He mentioned that last year it was chip constrained, and this year it's transitioning to a voltage transformer supply. Next, it'll be just electricity supply. What does that mean exactly?
Essentially, Mark, as AI becomes more advanced, it requires more computational power. Initially, the constraint was the availability of powerful AI training chips. Now, as AI models get larger and more complex, they require more power, hence the reference to voltage transformers. In the future, the sheer amount of electricity needed to run these advanced AI models might become the limiting factor.
So it's not just a matter of how quickly we can develop the AI, but also whether we have the resources to keep it running. And that's before we even get into the ethical considerations, right?
The ethical implications are significant. Musk himself has expressed concern about the ramifications of superintelligence. He's even mentioned a Terminator future, which we definitely want to avoid. Creating AI that is smarter than any human opens up a Pandora's box of issues. Who controls it? How do we regulate it? What happens if it goes wrong?
And those are questions we're still grappling with. Musk's predictions haven't always been spot on, but he's definitely got us thinking about the future of AI. I guess all we can do now is watch this space.
As we've seen with previous technological advancements, they often bring about societal and philosophical questions that we have to navigate. With superhuman AI, we're not just looking at the benefits and risks of the technology itself, but also its potential impacts on society as a whole. It's a fascinating, if somewhat daunting, prospect.
Story number four. In a report from the New York Times, Jared Kushner's $3 billion investment fund is mainly financed by overseas investors, including government wealth funds from Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the United Arab Emirates. His firm, Affinity Partners, has already made $1.2 billion in investments, with most of the money coming from foreign sources. Kushner's ethical issues could increase if Donald Trump wins another term as president. Should we really be that surprised? Kushner's move to leverage his connections for his business venture is just plain smart capitalism. He's using his resources and networks to build a successful investment fund. I mean, isn't that what business is all about? Utilizing the resources you have to maximize your profits?
Mark, while I understand your viewpoint, I think it's somewhat simplistic. Yes, business involves leveraging resources, but when those resources include political connections that could potentially influence national policy, it becomes a matter of ethics. Kushner's fund has received almost all its financing from foreign investors, some of whom he interacted with while serving in the White House. This raises serious questions about conflicts of interest and the potential for undue foreign influence.
Well, Linda, it's not like this is a new phenomenon. Powerful political figures have always had business interests and networks. And I don't think we can automatically assume that Kushner's actions will lead to a conflict of interest. After all, he is no longer in the White House and has the right to pursue his business interests.
Mark, I agree that political figures do have the right to engage in business. However, the issue here is transparency and potential conflicts of interest, especially given the potential of his father-in-law returning to the presidency. It's not about denying Kushner his right to do business. It's about ensuring that those business activities don't compromise our national interests or security.
Linda, I see your point, and yes, transparency is important. But we also need to remember that it's not just about Kushner. It's about a system that allows, and sometimes even encourages, such overlaps between business and politics. Maybe instead of pointing fingers at individuals, we should be looking at ways to improve the system as a whole.
That's a fair point, Mark. However, while we work on systemic changes, we cannot ignore individual cases that could potentially be problematic. And in this case, Kushner's extensive use of foreign funding does warrant a closer look and potentially stricter regulations.
Story number 5. The European Union is investigating China's state support for wind turbine companies in various European countries to protect its industry from cheap Chinese imports, as reported by CNN. This move is part of a larger effort to address tensions between China and its major trading partners due to oversupply of Chinese goods in key industries. The investigation is being carried out under the EU's Foreign Subsidies Regulation, which aims to ensure fair competition for EU companies. This follows previous probes into Chinese subsidies for solar farm contracts in Romania and electric vehicle makers. China's focus on exporting high-value goods to boost its economy is causing concerns among European and U.S. officials. So, the EU launching this investigation into China's state support for its wind turbine companies? I gotta say, it's a big step. It's a clear message that the EU is not going to stand by while China floods the market with cheap imports.
This action by the EU reflects the broader tension between free trade and protectionism in the global market. It isn't just about wind turbines, it's also about the effects of state subsidies on international trade dynamics. In a sense, it's a microcosm of the broader struggle for dominance in the green energy sector.
This isn't an isolated issue. It's a part of the bigger picture. Look at what's happening with solar panels. China's massive subsidies for domestic suppliers have led to the situation where less than 3% of the solar panels installed in the EU come from Europe. In the words of Vestager, China is using the same playbook in other areas of clean technology.
That's a valid point, Mark. And this strategy of flooding the market with subsidized products isn't new. We've seen it before in other industries. However, the stakes are much higher now because we're talking about green energy technologies, which are crucial for combating climate change. That's why the EU's use of its foreign subsidies regulation to level the playing field is noteworthy.
It's not just about economics anymore, it's also about the environment. And let's not forget, this isn't just an EU-China issue. Remember the US-China trade conflict? Many of these disputes revolve around the same underlying issues. It's a global problem that requires a global solution.
It's a complex issue with no easy answers. But such investigations and regulatory measures are a step in the right direction, ensuring fair competition and paving the way for a sustainable future. It's a delicate balance between advancing green technology and preserving the integrity of global trade.
That's it for this morning. Have a great day and see you all tomorrow.
5 at 8 is researched, written, and performed by artificial intelligence. For more information, visit botcaster.ai.